Welcome, Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Goodness me, but those Hardy Dars make a hell of a racket, eh?
Oh, my friends.
Your friends, the Hardy Dars. Sarah, great to have you back. I've got a massive smile on my face, first time of the year. And looking forward to lots of discussions going forward.
There will be lots of discussions. I mean, we didn't hit January 4 without all hell breaking loose over vaccines or the lack thereof. So it's not going to certainly be quieter or more refined, shall I say?
No. And given what's happening in Washington, I think the word refined probably doesn't have any meaning anymore. But wow, you've raised a topic this afternoon that I've been, it's so true. It's so absolutely correct. Social media is not the media. And there seem to be a lot of people who are making that mistake. Where were you going with that issue?
Okay. Basically, I was looking at an editorial on Business Day, which opined that the social media companies could not rely on their previous refusals to take responsibility for content on their platforms because they were not publishers. And they said they have previously refused to take down misleading material and outright lies, and they see the current situation as being a game changer. And finally, he said, it is high time that these organizations are treated like other publishers and are held responsible for what they disseminate. Now, it's a complex and emotive issue. It won't begin or end there, and I don't pretend to know the ins and outs of antitrust law in America and all those complexities. But I want to suggest, a view, and that is that these platforms are not publishers. And unlike newspapers, television, radio, they are designed simply to carry the views of ordinary people. Now, originally, it might have been about, fairly light conversational stuff, but it was used to advantage, and it became a hotly political platform. But they are not professional journalists, and I cannot believe they would be in any position to control sheer volume. And the problem is that I think Business Day has forgotten that it's not that they may not have taken down a whole lot of views people don't like, but they have taken down a whole lot of views that people don't like, and they have taken down things that are factually wrong. But it has tended to be at the behest of the left, on the middle, or the right. Now, the problem, what I'm suggesting essentially, is that they aren't, and they should not be regarded as such, but what they can do, what in fact possibly they should do, is have as their terms and conditions, nobody comes off unless they are asked to, because, well, and not even if it contravenes law, because if you think about our social media, and the Jewish Board of Deputies in particular has taken online stuff and used the laws and the authorities that govern those laws to challenge it. Most times successful, sometimes not, but that's kind of how law works. And I'm suggesting the same thing. There's no reason why the same doesn't happen in America. And there's a little thing to add is the possibility that in so doing, because essentially a complainant is taking action against somebody who said something, it's not about the platform. It's too unwieldy to control. It's about an action by one group against another group. Maybe, just maybe, they've got to do what newspapers do, and that is that if you write an opinion, your name is attached to it. Your real name and address is accessible so that a party can take legal action against the party. So if the view is by the law authorities that Donald Trump incited people to commit violence, there is law to deal with that. A charge can be laid. That's how things roll. I think to try and expect them to behave like publishers is both A, impossible, and B, when they try it, they're going to probably get it wrong.
I found that absolutely fascinating because my gut instinct was to be incredibly happy when I saw that they would be treated as publishers, thinking that every single crackpot with every single wacky idea now has a platform to get it out there, from PDF files to Nazis to you name it. And maybe those people who provided the platform are in fact exactly that. If you've provided the book, you've provided the conduit, then it's the same thing. So I don't know. I've got to think about that.
You see, the problem is, of course, that it's very, very difficult in those huge platforms to say, well, do you as the publisher in the current context have enough of an understanding of what is right and what is wrong, what is correct and not, to actually make that call? Now, if you think about it, none of our newspapers are completely non-partisan. In fact, I think generally the media has become way too partisan. And you have television stations that are blatantly one way or the other. But those are policy decisions governed by editorial editors and publishers and journalists. It's a professional environment.
I hear what you're saying, isn't it? Yeah, no, I hear that. The other thing that I'm kind of struggling with somewhat is that, okay, I have no problem with them taking Trump off Twitter because I don't like what he says. But many on the right point out that they leave Khomeini, who's calling for the elimination of Israel, up on Twitter. And I think they've got a hell of a good point.
I agree with you. And I think the problem is that, you know, maybe if the political powers are strong enough to create the pressure to remove a Trump, maybe the Jewish Board of Deputies or Chai FM do not have the political power to get them to remove anti-Semitism by Khomeini or some other worthy. So then it really becomes very, very murky.
Very, very interesting discussion. Interesting. We have no idea how to regulate this powerful tool that's been put in our hands, and we're living with the consequences from Arab Springs to marches on Washington. Fascinating stuff. Soragon, look forward to chatting to you same time next week.
Cool.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.